Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the garden. Welcome to Lynn Seraphim's Garden of the Soul, exploring personal empowerment, life purpose, balance of mind, body, and spirit, and how to tap into the inner hero that lies within every human being.
Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon, Blog Talk Radio, and welcome to Lynn Seraphim's Garden of the Soul. My name is Lynn Seraphim, and I'm a coach, a book marketer, and author of the book, The Garden of the Soul, Lessons from Four Flowers That Unearthed the Self, and the international number one bestseller, The Seven Graces of Marketing. And today is Wednesday, the 25th of April, 2012, and we're broadcasting, as usual, from the lovely Bedford, England, where it's been raining, and my purple sprouting broccoli in my back garden is absolutely loving it, as it was a few weeks ago. I don't know why they're saying we have a drought, but never mind. Anyway, it's currently 3 p.m. here, and the sun has finally come out, and I'm enjoying the day, finally. I'm getting a chance to speak with all of you. So today, we're going to be talking about oneness and about unity. Now, have you just notice that there's a change in the way that people are thinking these days? I mean, I know I am. I'm seeing, especially since I work with authors and I do coaching and all of that, about 10 years ago, I feel like people were really, really focused on their own thing, you know, bringing out their own voice and being real and finding your purpose in life. And we're still involved in that. But what I'm noticing in society is that more and more people are turning towards a different kind of thinking, where they're becoming acutely aware that they're all one part of a bigger picture. They're part of, you know, humanity, they're part of the planet, that we're all one in some way. Now, people express this in different ways. They express it through their spirituality, or they express it through environmentalism, or through social causes, through social justice, all of these kinds of things. But I'm seeing a shift. I'm seeing a definite shift towards that kind of unity thinking. Now, you know, I suspect that today we're going to be talking a little bit about that from the more metaphysical platform, because my special guest today, I think I need to get a glass of water before I do too much talking today, but anyway, my special guest today is Charlene M. Proctor, PhD. She's a spiritual author, minister, blessing giver, and empowerment coach. She's also author of a brand new book, The Oneness Gospel, which got into the top 20 of every spiritual book on Amazon yesterday, right along. I mean, she was behind a whole barrage of Deepak Chopra books, and that is a wonderful, wonderful company to be in. And we're going to be talking to her today about this whole idea of oneness, not just about her book, but you know, how she came on the path towards that. And so I'm going to be introducing Charlene in just a few minutes after a couple of announcements. Okay, first thing I'd like to talk about is The Oneness Gospel, the book that Charlene had, that it came out just yesterday on Amazon. And there is still time to go over to the launch page that she has over there, where we are giving away a whole lot of lovely free gifts, all spiritual and personal development gifts, when you buy the book today during the launch. And if you head on over to onenessgospel.com, onenessgospel.com, make sure there's only two S's at the end. I keep putting three S's for some reason. Anyway, never mind. Onenessgospel.com. And there's a button at the top that says free gifts when you buy the book. Click the link that says free gifts when you buy the book, and you'll see a lovely trailer about the book. You'll be able to read about Charlene and a whole lot of other people who are helping to support this book. And then when you buy the book, there are links there to buy the book, and you can get a whole bunch of lovely presents just for you. So head on over to onenessgospel.com, and you'll also get the download to a great webinar that Charlene and I did the other night called Your Journey to Joy. It's a really inspiring webinar, and you get that free when you get the book. Okay, second thing I want to tell you about before I bring Charlene on the show is the Seven Graces Global Conference. Seven Graces Global Conference is coming to London, and it's also on live stream, which means that you can attend from anywhere in the world. And it is on June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Now, This is a conference where we're really going to change the world of business, marketing, media, all of that. This is a meeting of minds. It's not a workshop. It's not a trade show. It's not something where you sit passively and people talk at you. It's going to be, although we have some fantastic speakers coming, we're going to be creating a tipping point for change in society towards greater ethics, greater social responsibility, corporate responsibility, and just really looking at how can we change the way we do business, how can we change selling, how can we change marketing to support society rather than create lack in society, which is really what I'm seeing. So I really would like to have you be involved in that, and even the live stream is going to be interactive because this is not, as I say, this is not, as I say, a thing where we are going to be just talking at you. We want you to be involved. So we're going to be having a virtual live stream during the event, and again, that's on June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Now, to go and participate in that, please go over to the 7gracesofmarketing.com, and that's with the number 7, the7gracesofmarketing.com, and on the top of that page, you will see a link that says the 7 Graces Global Conference. Click on that. You will see all about our speakers, our sponsors, a great video on there about what it's all about, and come join us. I really want you to be part of this movement, the whole 7 Graces movement towards greater, unity, I have to say, and oneness in business and marketing. Okay, great. So thanks for that. Now, again, that's the7gracesofmarketing.com. Good. Let's get to the show today. As I said, my special guest today is Charlene Proctor. I've been working with Charlene now for several months, and I have to say that she's very, very gifted in this particular area, and we're going to hear all about her story and also about her book, The Oneness Gospel. And she's an ordained minister of spiritual peacemaking. She's a best-selling author of many spiritual titles, including the brand-new book, The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. And that book unites the diverse spiritual wisdoms from both East and West to give you an experience of the Christ consciousness, the unity consciousness in the here and now. We're going to be talking about how to open the divine potential today and really experience that sense of oneness and unity. Welcome, Charlene.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm very happy you're here, too. And also, I want to congratulate you on the terrific success of your book launch. And I'm doing the number crunching, and it's really quite impressive. The book is right there next to lots of titles by Deepak Chopra. I saw it was actually ahead of Broken Open by Elizabeth Lester, which is a I don't know what that sound is, if it's on your line or my line. It's a very irritating sound, but never mind. But the reason why I'm mentioning those titles is I'd like people to get an idea that if they like those authors, they're going to be interested in this book. But what I'd really like to start with, Charlene, I'd love to start with your personal journey. People on this show are used to the fact that I really want to bring the person into. They want to know who they're listening to. So let's start with you. I mean, you've got these very interesting titles here, Minister of Peacemaking and all this stuff, kind of whatever. How did you get there? Where did you start in your spiritual journey?
Well, I spent a lot of years in kind of what I call left brain research as a person working for chemical companies and doing research projects. And many years ago, I realized that my own approach to work was really very out of balance, and I wanted to integrate my interests in spirituality, which I had been involved in since a very, very young age, into my professional work. So we kind of just shifted into starting an organization called the Goddess Network, and what I did was I taught empowerment workshops and self-help workshops to women, wrote a couple of books on positive thinking, and really spent a lot of years empowering women and to get them to understand about how to manifest the reality in the desirable things that they wanted in their lives, like relationships, better jobs, and so forth. And as I was telling somebody last night on the radio, it's very interesting about life. Sometimes we start out on a path and we think, oh, well, this is it. We have so much education and energy put towards a particular thing, and then life puts you on another path toward learning and your own self-development. And we have to
Absolutely.
Pay attention, you know, really pay attention to what the divine and the universe is showing us, because that's where our work is needed. So through a series of personal experiences that involved a lot of suffering in our own family, was led to these particular teachings that were being offered from a couple that work from a very large temple in India called the Oneness University, where people from all over the world have been visiting for years and years and years to learn some of these underlying fundamental truths of their wisdom traditions, find the commonality, find the unity messages that run like a river through all of this collective material, both ancient and modern. And as I was saying to somebody last night on the show, it was very interesting to me as a self-help writer and a teacher to recognize that until we really experience something ourselves, we can really not teach it as well as we could. And, you know, as an observer of my own life and a participant, I thought, well, you know, there was a reason for all of the suffering that had happened, because as a mystical person and a person who is consciously aware of the forces of energy in the universe, discovered that all of the suffering just became manifested in the form of physical disease in my own body. And this is a subject I've been talking about for years, way long ago. I was very inspired by Louise Hay's message. I believe she wrote a book years and years ago, which a lot of us consider the Bible. I think it's called You Can Heal Your Life. And it was the first, do you remember reading this book for the first time?
I do, actually, and there's a part, in, it's funny you say that, Charlene, because that book came when I was going through a crisis in my life, and I remember I was in a B&B on the south coast of England reading this book, and at some point she said, does this make you angry? Maybe you want to feel like throwing this book across the room, and I did. I was really angry at it. Throwing the book across the room, and I didn't really pick it up again until much later. I did agree with her, but there were things that I couldn't quite. There was a method to it that I didn't quite resonate with at the time. But I have noticed more and more and more, and I've worked with so many clients now who are talking about this message, and I have noticed more and more and more of it in me. So what was your experience with it?
Well, like you, I probably did the same thing and hurled this book across the room when I had been reading that we manifest our own reality. And, that's such a hard lesson, because we always want to blame something or someone else. We don't want to accept that a lot of challenges in our lives arrive because we are actually either on a path to attracting them unconsciously, or we are meant to look at these pieces for our own personal transformation and spiritual development. And so in my case, when I'd been going through all of this personal suffering with our family, really recollected myself and thought about the things that Louise Hay say, because she, as you know, in this book has this big giant list in the back that says, oh, well, you know, if you have a back breakdown, this is about not feeling supported because you're trying to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders, or if you have cancer, sometimes that is because there's something inside of you that is putting you in a state of dis-ease that's eating away. And, you know, when we look at those things, we think, oh, we get so angry because we say, well, I don't want to bring this stuff into my life. I don't want to attract it. And part of the conscious mind says, well, I don't have anything to do with this. It just happened. But the more evolved that we become, and the more self-aware we become, and the more we take responsibility for our own experiences on Earth, you can't think any other way. So I knew that for me it was time to do something and to seek some sort of energetic help and philosophies that kind of put this in a different sort of a package for me as a human being, as a spiritual seeker. And that's kind of in a roundabout way how I arrived in Fiji and India
It seems like a really long leap, Charlene. You go from somebody doing chemical research. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
I was writing in an ashram in India.
Yeah.
I
was writing such riveting topics about the depolymerization of the nylon 6 fiber. Now that's something that'll put you to sleep at night, you know. And I mean, this stuff is very, very organizational, and you know. And when we were, I was researching closed loop recycling processes for BASF Corporation, which is a worldwide corporation. And you know, this work is very interesting to me, and I adored it because I kind of draw a parallel between, well, if you're studying a closed-loop recycling process, which really in a nutshell means you're going to take something that's trash and make it into something that is itself again. So you're actually taking a piece of fiber and making it back into what it is, not a secondary product like a park bench or something. And I thought, hey, you know, this is kind of cool because it's all about Mother Earth and environmental stuff, and I was very interested in that at the time. But after a while, you begin to feel the confines of the environment that you're working within. And it's like you get to a point in your growth as a professional or as just a human being where you need to burst out of that and say, you know, it's time to go to the next level. It's time to explore something bigger and greater than what is being done here. And so for me, you know, yes, Lynn, it was a very big leap. People thought I was insane for, you know, getting a PhD and multiple degrees and being, you know, on a track to being a very important researcher in that field. I had a book that had was very, very important. As a matter of fact, and this is kind of funny as a footnote, but somebody who was on this project called me up one day and said, oh, I remember my son reading this book that you wrote and based his entire master's thesis research upon it. And I was just,
my goodness.
My ego was so inflated. It was so flattered. It's like, wow, you know what? But on the other hand, everybody, you know, the lesson here spiritually is that no matter what you do, even though it may be perceived as being very, very tiny, is going to matter to somebody.
Yes.
It's going to uplift our whole human condition in some way. And that made me feel that the years that I put into that particular work were, had not been lost. So for everyone, always remember that, you know, if you do something with a good intention and you may not see the results of it in Earth time or even in your own personal or professional world, there's something that is happening there behind the scenes that is a very important part of the total matrix.
You know, and what I'd like to bring out of that, Charlene, is what was so interesting and even about this closed recycling thing you're talking about. What's interesting about that is in many ways it underpins what you're talking about anyway. because even those dry things, you say they're very dry, what people are starting to look at is how our system, you know, not just our souls and our hearts, but the whole system is one thing, and that it can be, it, you know, there is an integrity to it, and it's about preserving that integrity. So there's some underlying theme there, even within that research. And the other thing is, I think you make a really good point about the fact that we should be mindful of the fact that everything we do creates a ripple effect, and that we actually are really part of this big moving system of humanity. We're always creating another effect, another ripple effect.
Exactly. And, you know, especially, and this just popped into my head, the name of the show is Garden of the Soul. And, you know, this thing about the nature making itself into something, there's nothing ever wasted in nature.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Nature is so efficient, and of course we've tried to interfere with that process as human beings and made a mess out of certain things, but it's a very profound idea, you know, and it's there as a metaphor, is there as an example for us to look at every day out our window, and we don't really notice the impact of what nature is showing us, which is that it's making itself into itself over and over again, and there is no energy wasted. So I thought, you know, even though I was stuck in a science lab for a lot of years, there was something very profound about that, and the idea of the ripple effect. You know, every little piece that each one of us puts out there that has something to do with recognizing that we have the shared spiritual connection, you know, this this inclusion, if you will, into all that is in the universe is so vitally important, especially today in this polarized society that we live in. And I think that people are beginning to outgrow this. You know, they're beginning to turn off this chatter on TV and break away from all of this discourse that we're having that's constantly pointing out the separation, you know, in the in inequality, in the turmoil that we as human beings are creating, when we should be looking at what binds us together as a human community.
Mm-hmm, indeed. I do think that there's a shift towards that. I see it more and more. I mean, some of my listeners may know this, but it's actually with the foundation of my latest book, The Seven Graces of Marketing, was that about 4.5 years ago, my TV blew up. And the decision not to replace it actually shifted my consciousness.
Wait, the TV blew up?
TV blew up, yes.
That's funny.
I mean, universe said, I mean, I had gotten into the habit of just watching, being the couch potato at 7 o'clock every night, you know, getting a glass of wine, sitting in front of the TV, kind of doing what my parents did.
Mm-hmm.
And because I hadn't watched TV for a long time, but then I started again because I lived alone and I was bored at night. And I didn't have any enthusiasm for what I was doing completely. Well, I was starting, but not. It wasn't as like now. It wasn't like now. And the TV just blew up, went poof. And I stared at it blankly, thinking, oh, blankety, blankety, blank, all the expletives you could think of, and thinking, oh, you know, and now I have to spend money and buy a new TV as if the economy isn't bad enough. And when I suddenly realized, actually, I don't. Who says? It changed everything. It changed everything. And I noticed, speaking of mind and health, that my health improved. I also noticed that my money improved. Noticed that my mental attitude improved. And because I wasn't sucking in all those negative separation messages that you're talking about.
Well, exactly. And we know that all form is thought, right? And whether we're projecting it or other people are projecting it, if other people are projecting a lower thought form or a lower vibration, we are subject to the absorption of that energy, especially if we're open individuals. And there's so many intuitives out there. I think we are in a world where we are revitalizing that part of our human constitution. You know, we've been in this left brain mode for so long, and hey, I'm no exception after just telling the story that I did on your show. But we are growing this part of our minds and our hearts and our very layers of the energies in our body to be more receptive intuitively to all kinds of things and to pay attention at a higher level of awareness than we ever have before. And so what happens is that we are being more sensitive, like you were watching this television, to all of these lower states of consciousness, because what they do when they are projected is they create discord and negativity,
mm-hmm.
because those thought forms are very distorted. And those
mm-hmm.
are things like separation and hate and exploitation and anger,
yep.
and selfishness and spite, and they're very, very sticky. And
mm-hmm.
I'm always telling people that when we want to begin to uplift our conditions in our life, whether that's a better relationship or abundance or, you know, more joy in our life or whatever it is that you want to attract, you have to become that thing energetically in order to do that. And in this higher consciousness is part of the whole concept of being oneness, because all oneness is really is just being completely aware of God within yourself. And if we can pull that higher energy in whatever form that makes sense to you, you know, it doesn't matter what wisdom tradition is or what you call the divine presence. It doesn't really matter. But we want to be able to be consciously aware of raising our vibrations inside of ourselves as individuals, to be thinking and acting and feeling more non-resistant and constructive and to click into the flow of the universe. I know that sounds very woo-woo, but what it really means is when we are aligned with that energy, That's when we begin to act creatively and really engage in something far more satisfying life than what we had before.
Mm. Well, I know that, so we were talking about, you know, the feeling of separation, and I think a lot of people, I think more and more people are realizing they're not separate, but there's still, obviously, we can look around the world and see suffering and wars and violence and things like that, and we can really see the evidence of that feeling of separation. What can we do to address feelings of separation within ourselves? What's the first kind of steps that we can take?
Well, I have a lot, so we'll just try to narrow it down to maybe three.
Okay, that's fine.
The first is, I would say that you have to identify with your unity nature and not your separate nature. Your unity nature is the real place where you are, and if you don't, you see the results of this in your life immediately when you start to only identify with your separate nature, because then life becomes the series of exercises that is just meant to measure your money or importance or career, your personal appearance against everybody else. And your whole life, when you identify with the separate nature, just becomes a whole exercise in championing your own individual causes. And then you get into comparing, you know, your religion and your success and who's right and, you know, who's on the right side of God and all this, and it's just ridiculous. It becomes painful after a while. In the East, or the India East that I experience, believes that this is one of the diseases of Western culture, is that this belief in separation, and it becomes very powerful and all-consuming. And I think that the shift in consciousness collectively, of course it begins with the individual, right? You can't just get a bunch of people together and say, oh, well, you know, you're all going to do this work for me and I'm going to, you know, really absorb all of this higher level conscious awareness. That's really not how it happens. I mean, it does happen a little bit, but you have to do this as an individual. I was telling the story last night about how I used to teach people this chant in workshops. And it's a very beautiful song. It's a very beautiful chant. It's called Ung So Hung, which means that, it actually means, I am the divine in every cell of my being. And as you know, in prayer or affirmation or chanting, whatever it is that you do to reinforce that idea and make it your own, it becomes very, very powerful. And the idea there, in terms of unity and separation, is that what we're doing is we're acknowledging that we can't be anywhere outside of the divine presence, right? We're in it, it's in us, it's through us always. And so when we want to affirm our unity nature and raise our vibration to attract better things in our life, we have to affirm this I am presence within us first, because, again, this is the highest vibration that we can generate. So overall, with that thought, I would say you have to begin to recognize, just in your everyday behaviors and your work and your interactions with people and your relationships, where are we defining ourselves as being completely separate? Now, you know, we have to, because we're each in a human body and we're not all just big energy blobs, you know, moving around and exchanging colors and lights and all of this stuff. We have an ego, which is the human self, which is, you know, programmed for separation, and we have to recognize that is a good thing. Now, that may make me a little controversial, because there's a lot of people out there in our business, Lynn, that say, oh, well, in order to be a spiritual person, you have to get rid of the ego self, which is your sense of a separate self. And they do not teach this in this way in India. They say that you have to become friends with your ego and recognize it and let it come out to play once in a while, which I find to be so wonderfully forgiving and fun. You know, when we recognize that, oh, yeah, well, we do have the separate self in addition to this unitive substance that binds us all together, it makes life a whole lot more manageable and easier for us to laugh and to recognize, you know, when we blow it and when we get it right.
It's so interesting you're bringing this up. I was at a what was it, a meeting of, a network meeting of a group of women the other day. And one, we were doing kind of intuitive universe question asking, you know, the universal question that that you, that's not being answered. And the woman who came to me and said, the idea was that you ask a question, out-of-the-box question that you haven't been able to answer, and the other person just gives an answer. And so it's the universe talking back. So that was the idea of the exercise. And the woman said to me, her question was, how do I kill my ego? And I, you know, and I'm like, and my initial answer was, what are you trying to do that for? you know that's so totally, you know, don't kill it, love it. You know, and she was like, no, I need to kill it. It's da, da, da. And I'm like, no. You know, and she wasn't listening to the so-called universal wisdom. But at the end, I think she kind of got it. It's a real myth. A lot of us develop a lot of self-loathing around this issue, Charlene, because we confuse ego with our backstory, you know, and our confusion and our insecurities and our, you know, our hang-ups. Mm-hmm. And we confuse that with the ego self. And the ego self can actually be very powerful and positive when it understands its place within that unity structure. I mean, that's my perception. How would you elaborate on that?
I think if you haven't made friends with your ego, you're going to have a lot of struggles unless you are such a highly evolved spiritual master that you can spend half your time meditating in a Tibetan cave, you know, and channeling the higher powers that be. And spending the other half of your time, you know, circulating around people and just letting them, you know, absorb the goodness of energy that emanates from you. I'm trying to say this tongue-in-cheek in a loving way. You know, for most of us, we have an everyday interaction because we are on a plane of learning, a trajectory, rather, of learning, where it's necessary for us to interact as, you know, everyday people. We're going to the dry cleaner, we're grocery shopping, we go to our job, we take care of our children and so forth. And this is all good practice for us. And to me, and especially to some of the teachings that are in this book, The Oneness Gospel, part of the key to happiness, or joy rather, is to be fully engaged in life and just have a high level of awareness and see reality clearly without all this fog and conditioning and living life through old dramas and stories and traumas and so forth. Now, that's a whole lot of work for most people. I think that one thing, and I love that we're talking about this today, is if we could just understand that you need to let your ego out to play. You know, it feels good, doesn't it, to win an award or to get that job promotion and to, you know, jump around and say, wow, look what I did, I feel so good about myself. Well, this is part of loving yourself as a human being and being at ease with yourself, because to be an authentic person, you have to acknowledge all the parts of yourself. And it doesn't make any sense to me to know that God gave us an ego for a reason and that we're going to try to squish this out of ourselves like wringing a wet sponge. It's for most of us who are not super highly evolved spiritual masters, it's very, very difficult or virtually impossible. And people are so hard on themselves. I don't know how this whole thing started about, oh, we got to get rid of our egos. That's a pretty tough order to fill at the Charlene restaurant. And I think I would encourage people to start a little bit, be easier on themselves, and instead work towards gaining more of an awareness of how you're viewing life. And to live more in the present and to be more fully engaged with who you are and your interactions and your behavior, and to see circumstances and your challenges and relationships really very clearly for what they are. They teach you a lot about this in the oneness community. And, you know, it's never easy to look inside yourself and say, oh, God, I've been carrying around this baggage and unforgiveness and resentment and all of these lower thought forms so much that I'm hanging on to them like heavy luggage. And what's happening then, and you tell yourself, well, then I'm perceiving my reality through this heaviness, and I'm really not seeing things for what they are. And this it's definitely another disease of the West to perceive life in this way. And of course, it's another big project for all of us, and we really don't want to go there because it's so much work. But if we are committed to our spiritual development and personal transformation, it's absolutely something that needs to happen, which is, you know, being more self-aware and being more engaged in the present and what is in front of us without all of these layers of the past.
Indeed. Two words caught my ears when you were talking a few minutes ago. First you said the word happiness, and you said rather joy, and you corrected yourself and you said joy. What's the difference between happiness and joy?
Oh, joy is a permanent state of being. Joy is something that you can be in all the time. Joy is a loving engagement in life. And it's a total awareness of what is in the present moment. I mean, when you can have a cup of coffee or walk the dog and just completely absorb, at that 5 minutes, what a beautiful and wondrous activity that is, you're in a joyful state. And joyful people see their egos in action, and they observe their minds. They're very aware of the mind's avoidance game. And joy, to me, is just experiencing what is in front of you, and it's a choice, you know, to dwell in that. I think happiness is more of a fleeting thing. It's more about maybe getting an endorphin hit from pleasure-seeking. And it's interesting, you know, in our Western culture, and I don't want to criticize our economic a system here, because, you know, going on vacations to go climb Mount Everest or bungee jump off of a bridge somewhere in an exotic place, you know, creates a job for somebody, and it's part of our economy, and we need that as part of our system to keep everything going. But the problem is that we replace the idea and the feeling of joy for stuff that's pleasure-seeking, which is not permanent. And so what we're doing is we're just telling ourselves and actually training the body physically to experience the state of ecstasy or happiness, because we're just using the endorphin hit we get in our minds from such an experience. And it's not permanent. It's not something you can live in all the time. And then after we've jumped off the cliff or climbed the Mount Everest and come home, we're looking at ourselves, being with ourselves once again and saying, well, wait a minute, I don't feel any different than I did before I went and climbed the mountain or jumped off the cliff.
Interesting point. Yeah,
it's a state of being. And joy is really, it's not conditional or dependent on events. It's something that you can go within to find and know joy in your inner reality, no matter the outer circumstances. It's like a feeling of centeredness and wholeness, and it is not an either-or experience. You know, how do you explain people that have been in prisons unjustly, you know, for years, Nelson Mandela or whatever, walks out of this place still forgiving, still filled with joy? I mean, there's evidence of people who are able to maintain this state fairly well. And I'm not saying we're all perfect doing it, but it's a wonderful example. You know, people who have incredible strife or disease or illness or have come back from war with half of their limbs and can still sit there and be in a state of joy and have gratitude and know that they are still whole. And it is possible. It is fleeting, I think, for most of us. And I think it's actually a trained exercise. We kind of—it's funny because we're trying to teach ourselves how to be something that should become so natural for us, because joy, it really is our natural state, but we've kind of covered it up with all of the mechanics of living and other things that we take in through our world experience. So we're just trying to find a path back to ourselves, I think, when we talk about recapturing that joy.
Totally. It's a lesson that I've been learning more and more as I get older, and how you know, it's really our judgments of situations that blind us to seeing the joy that's in it. It's and it is something I think more people are turning to, or not turning to, but becoming aware of. But it certainly is, you know, as evidenced by what we see around us in the world, it's something, it's a teaching that needs to happen and spread more widely. And on that note, let's talk about the book itself. The book is called The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. Let's hear about this book, because I know that, you know, some people are, you know, they look at the title and they say, oh, is it all about the Bible? Is it all about Jesus? And obviously, you know, based on everything that you're talking about on the show, it's a lot more than that. And, I've looked at the book, and I know it's very East-West. It's very unity. So tell us about the book itself.
Well, bouncing off of our last commentary about joy, which is largely about making a commitment to being free from the illusions of life and to be clearer in your alignment with the divine presence or God, and feeling this sense of harmony with all beings. And so I think that if I were to sum up the book in a couple of sentences, it would be a teaching, really, in how we accomplish that. And in the East, India East, that I experienced, has a lot to say about that and how we process life and why we're not experiencing these states, and why we cannot consciously create things, in our lives, and why we experience so many blockages, and why we seem to be presented with the same challenges over and over again. You know, we're not paying attention to life, and there's something there that we're just not getting. And I think that there's a lot of religions and other disciplines out there that don't really teach people how to get there. And I think people in the West are very frustrated. You know, that's why so many people are seeking these mystical connections. They want some sort of experience about, you know, how do we experience the divine, which really has nothing to do with religion. Many people go to India or study with these yogic masters because they've been through traditional Christianity, which has so much scripture, which is very beautiful. I want to go on record for, because you have to really study it to get the meat of it. But there's also a lot of dogma there, and they don't teach very many ways to experience the divine. So I thought it was...
Sarah, Charlene, just want to cut in. I had 22 years connection with an Indian path. And I have to say, there's a lot of dogma there too. Can be, and as you say, if you get down beneath it, there's a lot of beauty.
It's everywhere. I mean, in Hinduism has a ton of dogma. You know, there's a lot of it in there. The underlying truths, I think, were very well explained, in my opinion, and as opinion as a researcher who's looked into both Eastern and Western concepts and trying to find some congruence between the two and teach people how to reframe their lives to look for a better connection with God, which is really what this book is all about. The people that were very interesting teachers to me, like Paramahansa Yogananda, who was actually, I would call, a very good Christian mystic. He loved the Bible. He loved the teachings of Jesus. And yet here he was from the East, the India East, teaching people a deeper, more metaphysical approach to some of these teachings. And I loved his works, and I thoroughly integrated all of his disciples and teachers that I thought were expressing the message of congruence between some of the best stuff that's in Christianity and the India East, and it gives more of a robust flavor and a different way to reframe some of these underlying truths that we need to navigate our lives in some sort of productive way. And so my intention with the book was to try to figure out how to bridge this gap after having gone through all the suffering and energy work and going out to Fiji and India and studying all this and listening to countless lectures by Indian guides, which were, you know, thousands of pages of transcripts, to try to figure out how to express this and teach people a little bit about consciousness. And how would we validate that for the Western mind, who maybe has read something in the Bible and has experienced some of the Christian, more traditional Christian ideas? So I thought that was a very interesting way to present this material, which is very unity-oriented and interfaith. You don't need to be in any particular religion to get the gist of it, because I attempted to whittle this down in such a way that it was able to reach a great number of people. And judging by our reviews and the people that have read this book already, I'm very encouraged that they've been able to pick this book up and just thumb through it and catch a lesson here and there and really get something out of it that can help improve their everyday lives.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about, like, when you're giving us kind of the context of the book, a little bit about the how it's structured, what people will actually get when they buy the book, because it's a very substantial book, Charlene, I have to say. You know, I love when, you know, you can pick up a book and it fills your hand. It's not some little flimsy little thing. You've done a lot of work on this book. I know it took you many years to put together. What are the actual practical exercises or topics that they're going to find when they pick up this book and start to read it?
We talk a lot, I say we, because nobody ever really writes a book by themselves, because
mm-hmm.
there's so many spiritual teachers, either living or on the other side, that really do help guide the message. I'm a big believer in that. We attempted to explain what is our current problem with this whole idea of our belief in separation, and to say, what is oneness? How do we understand consciousness, which is a very big subject? And we've already talked about what the ego self is, you know, what the mind is. But the practical stuff in the book is about, we're as human beings experiencing the world in certain ways, and I have a lot of personal stories in this book about my own emotional charges and healing from trauma, and how do we become free of that? How do we become free of our suffering and move towards a place where we are able to live in a more heart-centered awareness? I think there's a very good teaching in the book about how to be at ease with yourself and what really is self-reflection, and how do we do that, and what are these principles that we can practice that bring us more to a place of self-acceptance and self-love. Because how are we supposed to experience joy and love when we aren't able to do this for ourselves? If we're constantly in a state of turmoil, like you said, we see ourselves as victims, or we're blaming, or hanging on to all of this stuff. How do we clear that out to open ourselves more up to what our true nature is? So the book talks a lot about that in a very practical way. Talks a little bit about how we can see ourselves as individualized sparks of divine creation, and to understand that all of these attributes of God or the divine presence are really very near and dear to us, because we are part of it, and to call on help when we need it in the form of divine grace, and to really understand that once we start looking at life this way, we will see ourselves as having an unlimited potential to whatever life is presenting us, and we can overcome anything. Because to be viewing your life as a separate, ego-centered individual, as opposed to somebody who connects the idea of themselves to everything that exists in the universe, is a very big contrast. And
yeah.
If we want to perceive our lives as being productive and being able to overcome many, many challenges and other kinds of learning opportunities, I call them, in our life, you have to think very big, and you have to feel big. And we don't mean big in the form of inflating our egos, which is our separate self, but to know that this kingdom is within us, and that to express this God self is where the power is. The book is, I think it's very approachable for most people. I think that even if you just took one chapter and bit off a little bit and just focused on that, there would be many teachings in this book that would make sense to any person who's, you know, just experiencing life.
Mm. So I'm going to ask to, I mean, I mentioned at the beginning of the show how people can get a hold of this book, but let's hear from you. I mean, they can go to onenessgospel.com, and there's a link at the top of the page that says free gifts when you buy the book. But tell us more about, you know, what your feelings are about the people who are giving gifts, or, you know, the gift that you're giving, or things like that. What will they find when they go to buy the book today, this week?
Well, I think that one of our wonderful offerings that we have, if you go to our website or go to one of these, go to onenessgospel.com, yes, the free gifts are wonderful. We encourage everyone to look them up. There's so much information there, and I don't have the list in front of me. There's a series of TV programs that we did earlier this year called Your Journey to Joy. And these are actually some of the very basic teachings that I brought back from the Oneness University in Indian Fiji. And if you go to our website and you want to spend a little time there, I would encourage people to look at the Your Journey to Joy television series that has been running in the Comcast market for 6 months now. And they're just wonderful, and you don't have to read anything. You can just sit and kind of absorb and receive the lesson. And, you know, sometimes a visual lesson is a beautiful thing. And so we have all of that on our website, in addition to all of these wonderful recordings from all of these shows that we've done. Certainly this one will be on, and many, many others where we can talk about the material and share more ideas. And so that's kind of the benefit of going and ordering the book through, what are we calling this, Lynn? The bonus page?
To make it easy for people,
yeah.
It's the launch page. But to make it easy for people, I'm just saying to go over to onenessgospel.com and click the link at the top. Otherwise, I'm going to give out an address that's like, you know, miles long.
Thing I will say is, if people just go to Amazon and buy the book from Amazon or Kindle right away, and they can't figure out how to get the bonus gifts, to please just email our office and we will provide all of that for them. We have no problem doing that whatsoever. All they have to do is email us at TGN, that stands for The Goddess Network, TGN@CharleneProctor.com. Shoot us an email, and if you just want to run to Amazon and buy the book, that's fine, but shoot us an email, and we will be more than happy to connect with you and give you all of the bonus offerings that come with buying the book.
Mm-hmm. And if people are listening to this, you know, well after the launch, because this is syndicated and a lot of people listen to the shows, you know, a year after, you know, down the line, there'll be something there for you even when after the launch is over. And I know that you're going to be teaching a class about the 12, what is it again, the 12 steps to becoming a divine human?
Yeah, 12 principles for becoming a divine human, which is kind of a summation of some of the core enlightenment teachings that are in this book.
Mm-hmm.
But we have absolutely no problem if we have a reader say to us, oh, there was just a bonus gift I wasn't able to download, or I really wanted it. Just please contact us, and we'll be so happy to provide that for people, because our intention is to teach and to be a support system for folks.
Yes.
So, yes, when this webinar or this class that we have online coming up later this spring, we'll be talking more about the 12 principles at the end of the book, and hopefully people have read it by then and can show up and ask questions, and we can have, you know, some personal conversation about their own journey as part of the class.
Brilliant. Okay, so I'm going to just say the website one more time. It's onenessgospel.com.
It's theonenessgospel.com or charleneproctor.com. And if all of that goes in one ear and out the other, just Google my name, Charlene Proctor, and you will easily find, you'll easily find our listings.
Okay, fantastic. And again, the full name of the book is The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and the Divine Human in You. We've been talking to Charlene Proctor, who is a spiritual author, minister, blessing giver, and empowerment coach. Charlene, what one kind of wish, thought, blessing, idea, strategy, whatever would you like to leave the audience with today? You've got about 2 minutes to just say whatever you want.
A friend of mine in a marketing meeting earlier this year gave me a bracelet, and there's an inscription on it, and it said, "Be here now." Be mm-hmm. here now. And I thought that was so profound, and I wear this bracelet, and I think about how willing that we should be to release the past and to really focus on knowing that our journey begins here in the present moment. It's not where we want to be. It's not the future. It's not the past. It's to clear that out frequently and to be fully mm-hmm. present. So that would be one thought that I would have. And to understand also that we should just be easy on ourselves and to know that spiritual growth takes a lot of time and to not be so hard on ourselves, you know, to know that it is a process, it's a journey, and our real true spiritual growth comes from really raising our vibrations to the highest level and to focus on receiving this wisdom of God's reflection in our body, in our mind, in our heart. And if we can at least do that, you know, once a day, just for a couple minutes, I think people are going to see their lives improve in leaps and bounds because we're projecting the very thing, which is this unity consciousness, more frequently. And I think that's what's going to change people's lives and then eventually change the world.
Mm, wonderful. Yeah, and I love the fact that you're bringing up the point that our joy is actually, we may think that our happiness, our joy is a selfish thing, but it actually will change the world. There will be that ripple effect. And the point is we are all one, and on that level, on that energetic level, and the more joy we can bring into our own lives, the more we can bring to other people. I think that's what I'm hearing you say, something like that.
It is. Thanks for getting the gist of my teaching today. And and for anyone who has a comment or a question about this program, to please feel free to email us at tgn@charleneproctor.com. I answer all my mail, and you may not get an email back that minute, but I do like to talk to our audience and interact with them and to just feel free to connect.
Lovely. Thank you, Charlene, so much for being my guest today. And listeners, you've been listening to spiritual author, minister, blessing giver, and empowerment coach Charlene M. Proctor, PhD. Her sites are theonenessgospel.com and also charleneproctor.com. Do pick up her book, The Oneness Gospel, during the launch. And remember, if you're a fan of Lynn Serafin's Garden of the Soul, please follow us here on Blog Talk Radio so that you can receive all the updates about our upcoming shows. Charlene, thank you, and I'm going to tell everybody about next week.
Thanks for having me. It was just a pleasure.
Likewise. And as I said, now I want to tell you about next week. Next week, the show is on Wednesday, May 2nd, and we're back at the usual time of 6 p.m. UK, 1 p.m. Eastern, and it's called Shifting into Pure Consciousness. Now, folks, I'm not special guest is Ken Pastor, metaphysical teacher, spiritual artist, author, and host of the podcast We Are One in Spirit, Yvonne Perry. Yvonne is a dear friend of mine. I've had her on the show before, and I just love the woman. On Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you next time. Good night. Or good afternoon.